This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Thanks so much for joining us on the show, Kate Delaney. If you're here for the first time, welcome, welcome. If you've been here for a long time, thank you, thank you. Very strange times, my friends, that we live in. In fact, when it seemed like the world was opening back up again, so many events are getting canceled, especially if they were in September or the beginning of October. And then you have Amazon, who's not bringing back its workforce in-house anyway until January 2022. As a speaker and somebody who traveled and took this show on the road, I've had three events now cancel and change because it looked like it was going to work, and then because of the Delta variant, there was a change of heart of having an event somewhere, and instead it was moved to 2022. I mean, we all are longing to be back together again, and the sooner we get rid of this Delta variant or these problems with COVID, the better, because we're seeing how the cases are clicking up, and it's just been so it's made us all weary and worried. Wearied and worried, I guess, in some cases, right? It just depends on your point of view, but I think all of us feel like we are ready for this to lift. That's for sure. A couple of things to talk about here in the beginning, including, hey, coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Sarah Moore from the UK, who's written a book called How Hitler Came to Power. And it was so fascinating to talk to her because it's always about follow the money, right? And so follow the money. She talks about how Germany cleverly got reparations, but yet things that had happened where they had stolen money, and how she put some of the pieces together. So look for that interview coming up around the bend. And it's great how she pieced it together. Before we get there, though, however, some other things to talk about include what's going on in Florida, what's going on with our confidence in fighting COVID. In Florida, you've got more people that are desperate to get oxygen, and of course the cases are surging as of last week. That just continued. And why can't they get oxygen if there's supposedly plenty of oxygen supplies? You know what it is? It's a shortage of drivers who are qualified to actually transport oxygen, as well as restrictions around how long truck drivers can actually be on the road. Stuff that went into effect following the expiration of the public health emergency in the state, meaning that the supply isn't getting to the hospitals that need it the most. And there was even a suggestion that from the Brigadier General David Sanford, remember him? He's a member of the Health and Human Services Department Office of the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response. Boy, that's a mouthful. And he says, there's plenty of oxygen. They're just not in the right area. And he's saying the fastest way to help hospitals that are running low on oxygen would be to move it from somewhere else in the state. Another solution could be asking industry people to relocate their own supplies in the state so that you get that oxygen up. I mean, Florida has over 11,000 plus COVID-19 patients who were hospitalized as of last week, taking up more than 20% of intensive care unit beds as of the beginning of, you know, August. And these are stats from the Florida Hospital Association. And the stats don't lie. It is ugly. And can you just imagine somebody needing the oxygen? You know the supply's there. You just can't get the supply. You can't get it. So they're really trying to pull out all the stops and make that happen. And it's pretty scary, I think. The poll that came out last week that showed some of what we're thinking, at least as far as people with masks, not masks, vaccinated, not vaccinated, and there are greater numbers more than ever of people who have lost friends, family members who died from the disease, and people who have had friendships break up because of differences of opinion related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Overall, 20% responded yes 68 responded no, and another 11% I don't know, when they were asked in a survey by YouGov, have you lost any friendships because of differences in opinions related to what's happening with COVID? Wow. I guess it's not a wow, because I know it, I see it, and I have friends who have definitely gone through it, and then I have other friends who are see no evil, hear no evil, and just kind of burying their heads in the sand and don't want to know. But it's hard to not know. I say this show is about the buzz in your backyard. The buzz is over this. It's our livelihoods. It's our lives. It's our future. It's kids. It's our families. It's what is happening in the history of our lives, whether you're in the UK, Australia, or here in the great United States. I mean, this is all banding us together, sadly. And boy, do we want it to lift. But wishing and hoping, they don't make it happen. So you have some hard feelings all the way around. And I'm telling you, every time I get together with any friends, male or female, conversations, there's at least a couple of minutes spent on what's happening in their neighborhoods. What's going on in your neighborhood? Here's what's going on in our neighborhood. What do you think? What do you think? Is it broken? What do you think is going to happen? What do you think we need to do? I mean, whether it's a few minutes of a conversation or it's much lengthier, and it's not because of what I do, it's because that's what people are talking about. You know, that's what people are talking about. And it's so heartbreaking, some of these stories, right? You know, we're saying the same old things. What is the answer? The answer is, we got to get rid of this. And we know that. We got to get rid of this, period. Because not having a surge in new cases is a good thing. We had those bright spots. That was a really good thing. But now we're going in the opposite direction. And that's not good. Because none of us want to see that happen. We want to get back to it, don't we? All right, speaking of getting back to it, I'm all for infrastructure, but boy, oh boy, looking at this rush to pass this infrastructure bill, there's this new analysis out that came out last week that shows it would add $256 billion to the deficit. So, you know, in pushing and making that happen before the recess, one thing, but then you look at the other side of the coin, and maybe sometimes I don't do that enough, you look at what that's going to add to the federal deficit over the next decade. That's a lot. The Congressional Budget Office looked at the cost of the legislation, which was one of the major hurdles in passing it, and the CBO calculated that nearly half of the new spending, $256 billion, would be financed by adding to the nation's debt between 2021 to 2031. So that contradicts pretty much the claims of Republicans and Democratic proponents of it, saying that the measure would fully pay for itself, which is what I was led to believe and talk to people about. Well, that's a little bit different. So if you're a fiscal watchdog, this is kind of a gimmicky thing, and this happens when you're talking about budgets and allocating funds. And, you know, it's vacation time, and moving forward means you got the dilemma of, again, how is it being financed? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the deficit and heaping more on it? But there's got to be a way to figure out this infrastructure thing. Anyway, you can email me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Sarah Moore coming up next.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th Anniversary Contest for Better Health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th Anniversary Contest for Better Health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. America, do you want to win the spiritual war against the demons currently attacking our land? Step one comes from the Bible. Lay down the law by resting on the law. And do your resting on our pillowcases printed with His Ten Commandments. Find them at ProjectPillowTalk.com. Don't sleep on this message. Go to ProjectPillowTalk.com or call us at 877-289-7439. When you call, ask to receive another powerful spiritual weapon, free, a CD packed with the secrets of forgiveness, using all the instruments of praise written in the Bible, free with your order of our Ten Commandment pillowcases from ProjectPillowTalk.com. Shipping is free too, so call or click 877-289-7439 or ProjectPillowTalk.com. Get your Ten Commandment pillowcases for only $29.95 per set and watch the darkness flee from the light.
Facebook with some great big plans for the first ever Elevate by Black Summit, an incredible opportunity with a training event that's free. It's a one-day virtual summit hosted by comedian, actress, and podcast host Michelle Boutte. Rachel Hawk, marketing manager for small business at Facebook, joins us. Rachel, give us more details.
This month, we're so excited to put a spotlight on Black-owned small businesses and offer a new training event, the Facebook Elevate by Black Summit. So many small businesses have suffered incredible loss over the last year, but Black-owned small businesses have been disproportionately affected by higher closure rates and lost sales. This virtual event will give new tools, insight, and inspirations for businesses on their road to recovery.
Rachel, where can we go for more information to sign up for the event?
To learn more about the Buy Black Summit or sign up to attend the event, go to facebook.com/buyblacksummit.
Thanks, Rachel. Again, Facebook.com, Buy Black Summit.
How about the Girl Scouts adding new brownie cookies for the 2022 cookie season? Hey, that's something to look forward to. You know, it might be months away, but people like brownies. And in a cookie, are you kidding me? I'm going to have to run around the block a couple of extra times so I can at least taste it. And this annual start of cookie season is nationally recognized. We all know it normally runs, what, from January through April. So it just kind of depends area to area, they think, as far as how well the new cookie brownie will sell. But they think the minds that be at the Girl Scouts headquarters, that the more you add different flavors and different ideas, the more people get excited about the cookies. They still have the traditional thin mints. Thank goodness. To me, that's the best cookie, right? I have to buy them and give them away. Does anybody want my cookies? I just can't do it. It's so. You know, because of COVID, they suspended that whole door-to-door sales thing and in-person cookie booth, and they took the whole cookie thing online, and they had a lot of virtual cookie booths. That was brilliant, and they did pretty well. I mean, thousands and thousands of cookies flew into the virtual world and into the hands of those that ordered them. So that's the good news. I love the idea of this new cookie and how they taste things. And they say that it's just kind of an indulgent brownie-inspired flavor with a combination of chocolatey and caramel flavors. Doesn't that make you hungry? And kind of crispy textures. I would love to be the person who comes up with the, what are we designing next? right? And here's a cool thing, too, they're doing, since I'm going down this path and we're talking about numbers. It is about numbers when it comes to cookies and what you sell. And in addition to the hundreds, by the way, of existing badges, there's your number, they've added something new. They announced 28 new badges that are focused on entrepreneurship, math in nature, digital leadership, that kind of thing, so that these young girls that are Girl Scouts can navigate what the future looks like and they can earn these new badges. 28 new badges. I love it because it's geared towards STEM. And then, the whole cookie business is shifting models that way and helping them with the whole entrepreneurial thing and a digital cookie platform and helping them with the effective sales, pitching in person and online, use marketing research. Wow. The Girl Scouts, look at them going high tech and teaching a few things along the way. Bravo. How would you like 400 horsepower? I would. 400 horsepower Nissan Z sports car is out. It's been revealed, and I think it's going to attract a lot of attention. It's a two-door sports car, and it basically succeeded the 350Z, and it made its debut on Tuesday, and it's kind of a redesign. This is radio, but it's pretty sexy redesign. And this 370Z has a starting price of $33,000, $33,225 to be exact, right? And this is the 370Z before it went out of production. And they didn't reveal the price for this new Z, which is expected to hit dealerships in the spring of 2022, but they're thinking it's going to be in the affordable range. How do you decide what's the affordable range for most people? But here's the cool thing about it. So it generates 400 horsepower, about 68 more than the 370Z, also 15% faster 0 to 60 miles per hour time. That means you hit it basically and it vroom, takes off, right? A 6-speed manual transmission, which is standard, and a 9-speed automatic is also available. That would be another cool job. So I'd love to, design the cookies for the Girl Scouts and then be the person who helps with the design of whatever the new cars are. I'm just saying, right? All right, this made serious news. The Texas governor tested positive, he says, Governor Greg Abbott, for COVID-19. And, of course, he's made a lot of history in the sense that some people are furious with him and other people are praising him because he's been under fire for refusing to allow governments and school districts to impose mask or a vaccine mandates. And it's been kind of a mixed bag, like I said. So there has been a lot of conversation about him testing and testing positive for COVID-19, but he's according to his office, he's fully vaccinated and was asymptomatic after testing positive, and he's standing firm in refusing to allow local governments to force the mask mandates, etc. He is the first governor who's announced, at least in the last month or so, that they tested positive for COVID-19. There are other politicians who have tested positive for it. And he spoke before a crowd without a mask and had a lot of people around him posing for pictures. So there's concern now about the people who were there when he was speaking just the other day. Speaking of mask mandates and all things COVID and schools, some schools are shutting down and thousands of students are quarantining. It just depends in the U.S. where you happen to be located. So cases and hospitalizations among kids are on the rise. We've talked about it because of this Delta variant of the coronavirus, which now makes up 90% of the new infections among kids. Children under 12 are ineligible for the COVID-19 vaccine. So does it make some schools potentially a dangerous environment? Parents and school officials are battling out what to do with the school measures, and schools are being overwhelmed with the task of keeping the kids safe while they attend class in person. New Orleans. In the New Orleans school district, they had about 299 active COVID cases and more than 3,000 students and staff that were in quarantine. Then if we go to Georgia, Ware County in Georgia closed all of its public schools because they had a big increase in cases. More than 800 students and faculty there are quarantining, and local, which is a problem, obviously. 20,000 students are quarantining across the state of Mississippi, where many people are listening to us. Schools in Texas, I mentioned the Texas governor, in some Texas counties shut down because of a shortage of staff members who were under quarantine. So that's ultimately the thing that happened before, but now it's happening in a much different way because of the deadly Delta variant. And there are just districts that are deciding whether they're going to go or not go, or what it is that they, you know, what it is that they need to do to keep the students safe. And so once again, we're in that mode of push, pull, and tug of war over what's working, what's not working, and what is the right thing to do from county to county, where it seemed like at one point some of that anxiety was behind us and things all changed just a couple of, months ago, and sadly. And once the Delta variant really ramped up and the rampage was on, then thanks to that, that became the dilemma of what do we do? What do we do with this? And how do we make this work for the kids that are coming back to schools, where they're so weary of being on Zoom calls and taking classes that way? What a tough thing, no matter what age the kids are, in trying to feel like they're paying attention, learning, and everything else in between, because it's really hard to contain classrooms that way. Let's face it, even some of the greatest teachers who are doing an incredible job makes it that much more difficult to try and keep the attention and the interest of the kids who, again, are very weary of online, learning. It's extremely tough to do that. All right, one last one for you here. How about this? Donkey Kong, I saw today, is 40. You play Donkey Kong at all? It's still around if you find an arcade that's open, and there certainly are at some of the mini golf courses, etc. And sometimes they do have Donkey Kong. I loved playing that. I wasn't always so good at it. My brother seemed to have a better knack for it than me. Beat me a lot at Donkey Kong. But happy birthday to one of my old cool games that I played again and again and again. See, I'm a game player. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
In the warehouse, the job has to get done. But if you're working with an outdated forklift that has more downtime than up due to maintenance, it's time to make the switch to NobleLift lithium-ion powered forklifts. With a NobleLift forklift, you get less downtime, a longer lifespan, fast, efficient opportunity charging, and a 5-year cost of ownership that will save you almost $45,000 over internal combustion models. NobleLift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Find out more at NobleLiftNA.com/save.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Pentagon officials say that thousands of Afghan refugees will be headed for military bases in Texas and Wisconsin as they seek shelter in the U.S. from the Taliban. The Defense Department tapped Fort Bliss in Texas and Fort McCoy in Wisconsin as the arrival point for those refugees as thousands try to flee from Kabul. Those being taken in at those bases will arrive on special immigration visas, meaning they will have health screenings and full background checks before being resettled. Utah Governor Spencer Cox sent a letter to President Biden on Tuesday expressing his desire to help resettle those who are fleeing Afghanistan. And Texas Governor Greg Abbott has tested positive for COVID-19. In a statement, the governor's office said that he is fully vaccinated and is tested daily, with this being his first positive result. Abbott is currently quarantining in the governor's mansion and is not experiencing any symptoms. The statement added that he is receiving the Regeneron's monoclonal antibody treatment. You're listening to USA Radio News. Another 1,000 people were evacuated from Afghanistan on Tuesday after flights resumed out of the Kabul airport. State Department spokesman Ned Price says that more than 3,000 people have been airlifted out so far. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says the way that U.S. forces were pulled out is an embarrassment. The Kentucky Republican tells Fox News that thousands have been left in danger because of the administration's policy.
It's an embarrassment to stain on our national reputation. There are up to 15,000 Americans stranded out in the country who will presumably have to beg the Taliban to let them get to the airport, not to mention the interpreters who worked with us and other Afghans who were in danger because they cooperated with us. All of this is the aftermath of the decision first to withdraw and then to withdraw in a precipitous and incompetent way.
This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
We're going to the UK for a conversation with Alexandra Mather, and she's written a couple of very intriguing, juicy books that will captivate you if you're sitting on a beach or you're in your house or wherever it is that you're reading it. But these are not what I call novels, good storytelling and things that maybe you can relate to some of it, but it will just take you away. So Alexandra, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, right.
So let's talk about the road to you becoming a novelist. What was that like? What was it like to write the first one?
Oh, that was just a bare few ghosts from my past. That was all. To get rid of a lot of things that were building up, you know?
Yeah. And when you released it and when you actually, did the whole book and then it's published, what was it like to see it, to have to hold it in your hands and see it?
Yes, it was a bit, ooh, God, I don't know.
I like that.
Yeah, I got a copy which is... It's got gold lettering on it. You know, you don't get that if you get it from Amazon, but it's got gold lettering on it. So I've got one of those. You know,
right? I like that gold lettering. So tell us the story about What If. Where does it take us? Where does it start? Where does the journey in the book and your lead character? What happens to her?
Well, she's born in Derbyshire, in Buxton, brought up by her grandmother. And because she was quite dark-skinned and quite dark hair, you know, she had black hair when she was younger, you know, this was obviously something that her grandmother didn't like or disapproved of. And because of that, well, I think it was because of that, but the thing is, she was never allowed to do anything. You know, she had to be at home all the time. She had to be indoors, never allowed out. Very hard to understand. I was never allowed friends or, you know, anything. I mean, I went to school, but it was a question, if you go to school and you come straight back, you know, no messing. You just did that. And as regards my mother and father, apparently they moved next door, but they moved in the same year that I was born, which I didn't know until recently, which is pretty awful, actually, if you think about it, you know, to have a baby and then move.
Right.
Anyway, you know, from that, you know, my sister was always the chosen one, definitely. She's very attractive, And, you know, unfortunately, she died when she was 20. That was something else I was going to tell you. She got married and went to live down in Stockport. And we don't quite know what happened. She'd only been married 3 weeks. And she put something on the fire, I think, to make it burn. It was either that or there was gelignite in the coal. And the whole thing exploded. And she was very badly burnt. And she lived, what, 16 days. But she died, you know. She was only 20. Just before she died, just before her 21st birthday. Sorry, I meant to tell you that. But, of course, Mary was, you know, she was the chosen one, let's face it. Anyway, from there, I had various things happen to me. But eventually, I went to work in hotels, which I loved. You know, I absolutely loved it. I could travel up and down the country. And I ended up in London. And at that point, I was having a wonderful relationship with a Greek. You know, I was very, very fond of him. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, after 7 years, it didn't last. But never mind. You know, I did have 7 years with him, let's face it. Yeah.
And 7 years, and also, and it's, you know, this is what if is about. It's the ups and downs of life and some really hard things, like you say, but then there's the other side, like, ah, I go to college and then I get this job in the hotel industry and I get to travel and it's wonderful. Yeah. And I meet this Greek man. And then the best present of all, you have a wonderful son.
That's correct. That's very much so. Yes, definitely. I don't know. I mean, you know, whatever you do, he's still my son. That's all there is to it. Yes.
Right.
Definitely. Yes.
So that's certainly an upside. And we don't want to tell everybody everything about the book because of course, we want them to read it. What if?
Yes.
But there are, like we said, the highlights and the high things that happen to you and explanations as to what happened in your life, etc., with the Victorian grandmother and yes. The strange things that you had to deal with as a kid, and then coming out on the other side and actually getting married, and then a tragedy struck you then that I think lots of families, men and women, and especially women, can relate to how tough it is to lose a child.
Yes, that's very true. Very true, yes.
And you... as a result of that, though, you led a group for, what did you tell me off the air, 4 years of women who lost a child. And what was that like?
Quite traumatic, actually, at times. I can remember one night, actually, coming down to answer the phone, and there was someone on the other end of it, and she was going to take some tablets. She was going to kill herself. And... I talked to her, and I can remember thinking at that point, I had a thin nightdress on, and I was sat on the floor with the phone, and I couldn't even go and get my dressing gown. I was so worried about her, you know. But I talked to her, I suppose, for about an hour, and eventually she didn't do it. Let's put it that way. She just didn't do it. But it was that sort of thing, you know, that I had to be there to listen, to understand. You know, I think... You know, if anything, I'd just like women to know there is light at the end of the tunnel.
And you talk about it in What If. Another thing that happens is you do have a daughter, but there's yeah. also a sad struggle when she's yeah. younger, but then some funny moments as she gets cancer at such a young age.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And as a mother, what was that like to go through that?
Hell. Absolute hell, really. Absolute hell. But of course you cope, you know, you take her to the hospital once a week. For her injection, and then you're given the tablets and you sort them out. Actually, what I used to do, I had little pots on the side because she still went to school. I wanted everything to be normal, and I'd have these little pots on the side with all the tablets in them, etc. And when I picked her up at lunchtime, I'd bring her home, and I used to do it in ice cream. Used to mix it in ice cream because she couldn't swallow them, you see. Used to crush the tablets, put it in ice cream, and she'd get them down. And it was great. And then I'd take her back to school. We used to laugh about this. We really did, honestly. Yeah.
And then she gets well. She gets better. So there's yeah. the upside yeah. of that. When
7 months chemotherapy.
Mm.
She had the best of the worst, let's put it that way.
Yeah. And when people read What If, what do you hope they take away from reading that book?
There is hope. You know, at the end of it, you know, you've just got to keep on. You've got to keep pushing and pushing. You have to,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
You know, life's what you make it, let's face it.
Yeah, there's the hashtag, life is what you make it, and you made it. You yeah, had those up times, yeah.
Of course. Because it's me, you know, I'm quite a happy person anyway. But, I mean, there have been times when I've been really down, you know, but no, nothing will get me down long enough. No, I will fight back. Yeah.
Which is wonderful. And then we have a couple minutes left. I want to talk about this Sea of Red. Oh, even the title, Sea of Red. Give us a quick synopsis of what Sea of Red is about.
Well, I met this guy 5 years after I was divorced. I waited that length of time, you know, before I met him. And he was very handsome, very, very handsome. He was tall, he was fair, and he loved women, okay? And what I did, I turned it into a novel. So that he drove a lorry, a big lorry, and I was driving, well, I've used Susanna as the, you know, the person, who was driving along a road, and his lorry came towards her, and it smashed into the car, which, of course, that's where the Sea of Red comes in. From then on, the police found that there was a hole in the brake pipe. And, of course, with that, they had to start looking and find out what he'd been up to. And they weren't very impressed what he'd been up to, actually. they got his phone, actually, and they went through it. And that's where they found all these details, you see. So they went to all these houses where these women were. And, you know, it's quite entertaining actually talking to them, really.
And this is one of those good books. That's the, you know, that's the follow-up.
It's not very big, you know. It's only sort of, it's not many pages, but it's quite entertaining, believe me.
It's quite entertaining. And actually, there's a lot that you'll get out of both of these books, and they're very well written. Alexandra Mather, thank you so much for coming on. You can get the books on Amazon.
Thank you.
Facebook with some great big plans for the first ever Elevate by Black Summit, an incredible opportunity with a training event that's free. It's a one-day virtual summit hosted by comedian, actress, and podcast host Michelle Boutte. Rachel Hawk, marketing manager for small business at Facebook, joins us. Rachel, give us more details.
This month, we're so excited to put a spotlight on Black-owned small businesses and offer a new training event, the Facebook Elevate by Black Summit. So many small businesses have suffered incredible loss over the last year, but Black-owned small businesses have been disproportionately affected by higher closure rates and lost sales. This virtual event will give new tools, insights, and inspirations for businesses on their road to recovery.
Rachel, where can we go for more information to sign up for the event?
To learn more about the Buy Black Summit or sign up to attend the event, go to facebook.com/buyblacksummit.
Thanks, Rachel. Again, facebook.com, Buy Black Summit.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This book, first of all, when you look at the cover, it really grabs you in. I mean, it really does, because this book is a book that takes you on these different twists and turns, and it all stems from these two characters who are investigating the disappearance of a young girl. And I'm going to let him tell the story. But Arthur, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
So what led you in this direction? Because I know this is Death at Dawn is your third book, and it's a trilogy.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah. So tell us about it.
Well, actually, the initial idea came while I was exercising. I go out for long walks early in the morning, and coming up a hill one morning, it suddenly occurred to me that we don't have to be pushed apart by religion or sexual preference or race. And what would happen if somebody from one lifestyle met and fell in love with somebody from another? And that was the idea behind the book.
So when you set out to write it, did the characters come to you? How did that all kind of flow?
Well, in a sense, I use the physical settings of the book throughout the second book and now the third book. And the characters just sort of came as a result of that initial thought of having somebody from, say, a transvestite falling in love with a straight bisexual or straight sexual, whatever they call them.
Yeah, heterosexual. Yeah.
Heterosexual. There you go. Sorry about that. I'm a little nervous.
Now, you sound good. So you're right. So this, see, the other part of the book is Death at Dawn, LGBTQ meets Main Street. And it's, as you said and described in the beginning, it's different lives intersecting at different moments. But there's a deeper also story to this. Tell us about the two female characters and the investigation into the girl that's missing and what happened.
Well, the story of Pamela, who was the ex-wife of M.J. McCall, who is one of the main characters, and she was murdered by an unknown killer. While the suspect is at large, M.J. and his friend Diane Vargas, who is a trans female, non-operative. With time running out, they still haven't found any leads or clues that will bring them to the killer. So they team up with John Buckmuster, the county sheriff, only to find that the hunters are being hunted. Whoever killed Pam is now after them. So the only way to draw them out, they figure, is to use MJ and Diane as the bait for the trap. And that almost gets MJ killed, but in the end, they get the murderer, who turns out to be one of Pam's ex-friends / lover, and who went on a psychopathic rage when she rejected him. That's pretty much it.
Wow. So in the book, are people talking about it? Are people wondering what's going on?
Yeah. And in fact, in the book, there's a subplot because Pamela's cousin is sent to kill her by his father for an old family incest that resulted in the death of his daughter.
Wow.
So there's that as well.
What was it like for you to actually see it once it was in print and you got the book? Were you, was it an amazing thing to realize, wow, I've written a novel, I've got a whole trilogy here? What was that feeling like?
It was like a feeling of complete satisfaction that I'll leave something behind me besides two wonderful children. And hopefully other people will gain enjoyment by reading it. That in itself is what any author would want.
Boy, I so agree with that. That's what I was going to ask you what the takeaway is. And, of course, you can get this book on Amazon or wherever great books are sold that we talk about all the time, Death at Dawn. And in looking at this and looking at where you're headed in the future, do you just see yourself writing more books?
I do. And, in fact, the sequel to Death at Dawn is already written. I just haven't pushed publishing it yet, since we're still trying to get people to look at Death at Dawn. And I've started on the third novel of that trilogy.
Yeah, wow. And so that's the whole idea. I think what happens is we get involved with characters, and then we want to see what happens as they move along and, you know, what's
Absolutely.
Next. Yeah, what's next,
yeah.
What's next. And you have that. So the kids, what do the kids say about you writing a book?
They're all for it. They like the idea. When the books came out, they each got a copy. One of them's not a big reader. She had eye problems as a child, but she's just now got a pair of glasses that work. So she's going to dive into Death at Dawn.
Nice. All right. Well, that's the best that you wish for. That people want to continue to read it. That they're entertained. And then the people around you, of course, sound so supportive, Arthur. Arthur Day, Death at Dawn. Again, you can pick up that book on Amazon and other places as well. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
Wow, truly interesting because as Arthur told us, this book is unique. It's different because it involves things that we're dealing with in the world, differences in lifestyle, differences in gender and identification, and then wrapping this into a book and what people think and what people, that's why we talked about that. What do people think when a little girl disappears? And of course, as we all know, in your own life, when you hear about children, it just takes you back to the milk carton days of seeing kids' pictures and disappearing kids and just the weight of that and how it makes your mind churn as to what could possibly have happened to this child and how awful, that is. And he dives right into it. I mean, he takes you in these directions right from the very start as to what happens and where the story takes you into some really dark places, and then ultimately, how are they going to figure this out? And as any good investigation unfolds, that's exactly what happens. And we know this again from things that we watch and things that we get involved with. Like a couple of lines in this. She would hear the crunching sound of a car going along the dirt road that would lead to the paved road into the village of Compton and beyond the town of Junctionville, but they always passed the house on their various errands. They all seemed so normal, but then she wondered if someone was watching. What did that person look like? If she didn't know that, then it could be anybody passing by in a car or on foot. It certainly would not be a man in a black cape and mask driving a huge, shiny black Suburban. It was probably all nonsense, a tale of woe spun by an overheated imagination in search of someone with whom to share. So, again, the descriptiveness of this pulls you in to what I think of when I think of, sort of scary thriller mystery, where are we going with this? And Arthur does a wonderful job of taking you on that journey. And because I do these segments, because I love to highlight people and their stories and letting you get to know somebody like Arthur, a guy who lives in Connecticut and lives in Greensboro and Vermont and all these different life experiences he's had and how it comes together, and he gets this opportunity and he becomes a writer. I mean, that's what it is. Because I think there's so many of you out there that have a story like Arthur, that you want to tell. There's something that's in your head that's kind of, you think, oh, wouldn't it be great if I could just pull this together? And for some reason, something stops us, right? We don't do it. But he did it. He followed through, and he did it. And in fact, it's interesting with this mystery thriller and suspense genre that he, as he told us, he's got a couple of books ready to roll, and he's watching to see what happens with Death at Dawn. So support him and go and get this wonderful book simply by going to Barnes & Noble or go to Amazon or wherever you can grab a book. And this book is a song, and it is really, really riveting. There's no question about that. So thanks to him, and thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody. Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.